Tacticorama episode 431, Ohm on the Range.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Tacticorama.
Remember when?
Tacticorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Tacticorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Scooby-Doo, where are you?
Over there, in the media corner.
Tacticorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Tacticorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If you're a first-time listener, welcome to Tacticorama. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We wonder if you took your medication this time. But we appreciate you giving us your time anyway. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm trying to keep it together.
What? You falling apart again?
Yes, I am. It's been a long weekend, but that's all right. But I'm going to soldier on through the show. I'm good.
A great way to close out the weekend. Also joining us in the studio is...
Ben Ragginton.
How are you, Ben Lens Flare Ragginton?
Going what? To my J.J. Abrams look.
Right in the face.
Yeah, right in the face.
Ah, I can't see.
Okay, that's enough.
And switching cameras off of Ben, we also have...
Keith Lane, how are you?
I'm doing well, Keith. Boy, it seems like we see a lot of these guys lately.
I know.
And this is outside of the studio, too. This is a lot of fun. We've been having fun. Sadly, if you are a former Slice listener as well, we have news that Sam Roberts is not going to be in the Phoenix area anymore. So we had a...
Oh, sorry. Wrong sound effect. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Wow, that'll leave a mark.
She's going to Atlanta. We will hopefully see her at DragonCon.
I can just see Sam waving her fist at you right now.
We helped her pack.
Her good riddance.
Her bags are on the front porch.
Yeah. So she will be at DragonCon, I assume.
I hope so. She's
talking about it.
Yep. So we'll look forward to seeing her there. Until then, let's soldier on through the show. We've got coming up in this episode, Jurassic Legos, some interesting self-help books, and one of my favorites, space beer! All that and more coming up right after this. Beer.
The FAA has now changed the rules once again. A limit of 2 batteries for electronic devices on carry-on items. But the one in the bag has to be in the little magic plastic baggie. The same kind of plastic bag you gotta put your shampoo and toothpaste. Does this sound all right to you? Excuse me, but isn't the battery more dangerous when it's installed in the device than when it's out? Where do they come up with this stuff? What good is the little baggie going to do anyway? Seems to me like the polymer on the baggie is more likely to catch fire and burn in a chemical fire. Am I making any sense here? Well, yeah, I've never seen a picture of one of those batteries on fire outside a laptop. Have you? What, are you supposed to put your whole flippin' laptop in a plastic Ziploc baggie? Exactly. Gonna look awful funny. It's a ploy from the Ziploc people.
But wait till they outlaw luggage.
That'll solve the whole problem. Getting harder to travel. I hate it more every day.
We just stop.
I'm stopped. Done.
Greetings, programs. This is Jay Mayer, the Tron Guy, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig.
Because traveling just gets more fun every day, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Especially airline travel.
Yeah, especially since if they do away with luggage, you just show up at the airport naked anyway. You have to get naked anyway, right?
Pretty much.
I got to tell you, that rant seemed a lot longer than I remember.
Yeah, it did. And how come it was like a minute and a half of me and then Craig gets 2 lines? Who does this editing anyway?
That's the way it goes around here.
In all fairness, that was from late 2007, so the times have changed a little bit. You don't have to put your whole laptop in
Now we have host equality.
I thought you said something about hosted quality. I'm like, no, we don't have any quality on the show.
Well, yeah, no.
Let's go to the letters.
Yay!
Mailbag. Sing along.
Letters.
Oh, we get letters.
We get letters.
We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today.
Bend right over and pull one out.
Those letters. I love those letters.
Oh, boy.
Letters. We got letters. Oh, I'm sorry. It was lag.
Latency.
Bend one over and pull one out.
Yeah. He's watching the YouTube. He's playing. He's not listening.
Yeah, the lyrics are a little suggestive.
I don't know. I think we still have a little bit of Cards Against Humanity going on here now.
That was a bit extreme
last
night.
We played every white card in the deck.
Just to see if there were any we missed in the past.
Yeah, I was looking at Facebook. I saw the pictures and I went, oh, crap. They're playing Cards Against Humanity.
Again. We're going to get a new deck. All right, on to the listener mail. We don't have any voicemail, but we do have a couple of email. First computer experience response. This is from Leon, and he signs it Leon Dragon Con Ceiling Fall, which is not a James Bond movie.
You know what? Every time I read that, I go, oh.
That Leon. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good thing he does that, too.
Yeah. Oh, him.
A memory for another time. In 1968, my aunt gave me a book that described the instruction set of the IBM 1620 computer. Wow, that was probably dry reading.
I was going to say, that's great for, you know, bedtime reading, right?
It's good cure for insomnia.
I remember reading programming books back, you know, early stuff before I got into computers.
Oh, uber there's, technical.
Yeah, there's nothing interesting about these things.
No.
Stereo instructions.
Stereo instructions is an exciting adventure story compared to this.
Hey, Chuck, remember we're at the Computer History Museum? We saw the Algol?
Yeah.
I bet that's a good reading as well.
She is / was a programmer. I was a senior in high school. I read it and I was ready to program an application. Wow, talk about osmosis. But I wasn't inventive enough to come up with an application of my own. But I did get to work on the 1620 about 4 years later during my engineering co-op job. I got to use Fortran.
Ooh.
Mm. Don't they cut that off?
I didn't mean.
Oh.
Now who's playing Cards Against Humanity? Yeah. This is Nerds Against Humanity now. they just snip the tip, right? As Mel Brooks would say.
Move along.
There's nothing to see along. Here.
It says, I got to use Fortran.
Hey, wait a minute. It's sad when I'm the adult around here.
I didn't need no stinking instruction set. Before my hands-on 1620 experience in 1969 in engineering school, I wrote programs on a CDC Star and Burroughs.
Wow.
You mean for the Center for Disease Control?
Yeah.
Images of the Walking Dead come to mind. Using punched cards. I have some of those punched cards.
Punched? I feel punched right now.
But once I found the ASR33 Teletech.
Punched cards.
There they are. Punched cards.
Punched cards.
Keith punch-ed, has them right
punch-ed
on.
Punched cards. Can right. you see them?
Those even have some punched holes in them.
They do.
They do. They
no hanging holes. Chads here. But once I found the ASR33 teletype in the engineering school, I stopped using the punched cards. Sign Leon. Oh, Leon, I wonder if you still have some of your punched cards. They're just one of those things I cannot get rid of, but they're fun to have around.
You must have had like two pallets full because
I had like
pallets.
A shoebox and a half, maybe.
Hey, I've had, you've had them, you've had people sign them for years.
Well, and that then only said, used up like an inch deck with thickness.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
And then you said, here, let me give you some. And I had a stack. I even gave away some and I still got some sitting on my shelf.
Like,
they must multiply.
They do.
Well, Fortran was a scientific mathematical programming language, so that would make sense that it multiplies.
I was thinking, is it like granola? The more you eat, the more you have left.
I thought it was like the power cords under the computer desk. They just show
they multiply,
up.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby octopi.
How do people take computers from one desk to another and not take the power cord?
It's called wireless.
Well, they get a new one.
It's the internet. It's wireless.
Yeah. It's also light. You can pick it up and never mind.
We have a response back about first pirating. What was the first thing you pirated? Mad Marv writes in. He says, technically, I think I pirated I think I pirated were music CDs using cassette tapes probably back in the late 80s, early 90s. I don't even remember which CDs I copied. I think this was before my family got its first computer. In college, I collected the usual crap ton of nothing important. Well, that, crap. Yep, that's what college is. Where was I? I am wondering if I still have some stuff of that stuff on old backups. I still have some of that stuff on old backups. I'm sorry, I'm not reading very well tonight. I know I kept folders of stuff from those days just because it doesn't take up much disk space by today's standard, but I'm not sure I can find it anyway now. You know, he's right. Remember, it would, you know, take up mini floppies or CDs, and now you just throw that on a hard drive and go, okay, ooh, 600 meg, whoopee.
Oh,
okay.
I had a 40 meg hard drive. It was huge.
Yep.
Back in, what, 1990, something like that?
An ST4096 80 meg hard drive partitioned into two 30s and a 20.
Good Lord.
And that thing, at full height, when that moved, it shook the desk. Oh, and geez. I thought, I'll never run out of space with 80 meg.
Yeah.
Nature abhors a vacuum.
That's why I hate
not believe cleaning. How many of those hard drives I've installed in my lifetime. It's the 40 meg Seagates and those 80. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Lots of them. We have an update from Kyle though. He says, I found the stuff and I can't play the MIDI files. Damn you, VLC. Well, QuickTime plays it. Ugh. And then I think there's a reply thread in here. Okay. Let's get rid of that. Craig. There.
Right
there. Editing on the show.
Editing on the fly.
Okay. Yeah.
Why not?
What are you calling me out for?
Didn't you do the copying and pasting of that one?
No, you did.
Okay, well, okay. I'll talk to our editing department.
Chuck. Bad Chuck.
The editing department is not as high quality as the IT department.
Yay,
apparently.
Score one for me.
Another one for you.
Yeah, well.
Let's do the history thing, because then we all get to play along. On this day in history for March 25th, 2015, this is the 84th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar, and there are just 281 days remaining in 2015. Go get your Christmas shopping done. All right, that line's getting old. I got to come up with something new.
Yeah.
It was on this date in 421 that Venice is founded at 12 o'clock noon, according to legend.
Wow.
Go, Craig.
March 25th, 1634, the first letters arrive in Maryland. Oh,
first
I'm sorry,
letters.
Settlers.
Letters?
Wow, they had the mail service back then?
Settlers.
Oh.
They may have brought mail with them. I don't know.
Yeah, they may have.
It was 208 years ago today that the Swansea and Mumbles Railway, then known as the Oystermouth Railway, became the first passenger-carrying railway in the world.
208 years ago, the first passenger railway.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's incredible.
The first successful tornado forecast predicts that a tornado will strike Tinker Air Force Base, Oklahoma, 67 years ago today. I know where Tinker is.
You know where Tinker is?
Well, he's from Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it makes sense. It's right in Tornado Alley.
Yep, exactly.
57 years ago today, Canada's Avro Aero. Remember the pancake, the flying pancake Avro car?
Yeah.
Yeah, it made its first flight 57 years ago today.
Wow.
Yeah. Civil rights activists led by Martin Luther King Jr. successfully completed 4-day 50-mile march from Selma to the capital of Montgomery, Alabama, 50 years ago today.
Not really tech, but it was significant, so I threw it in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So 36 years ago today, the first fully functional space shuttle orbiter Columbia is delivered to the John F. Kennedy Space Center to be prepared for its first launch.
I assure you, this space shuttle is fully functional in many techniques.
Yes.
In multiple techniques.
And of course, along data.
I get the Russian name again.
You got it.
Cosmonaut,
not me.
Cosmonaut Sergei Krikalev returns to Earth after a 10-month stay aboard the... Where am I? Mirror Space Station on this date in 1992.
He got Krikalev, but he didn't get Mir.
He didn't get Mir.
Mir.
Don't get near it.
Meyer.
It was 20 years ago today that WikiWikiWeb, the world's first wiki and part of the Portland Pattern Repository, I love the alliteration on that, is made by, test your pop filter, is made public by Ward Cunningham. Happy birthday goes on to this date to Christopher Clavius, German mathematician and astronomer. Born today in 1539.
And also born in this date in 1867, the man who designed and sculpted Mount Rushmore, Gutzon Bollergrum.
There we go. That was a good one.
Like, journalist and sportscaster Howard Cosell was born today in 1918.
We won't even try a Howard Cosell today.
1928, Jim Lovell, American captain, pilot, and astronaut.
Our editor went on strike. There's two lines here that are straight out of the source. Anyway. And finally, American actor and director Paul Michael Glazer. You know, he's half of Starsky and Hutch.
That's right.
Ah, yeah. That's right. Through me there. He was born today in 1943, which would make him 72.
Yeah.
Wow. Yikes.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm feeling old now.
That's the way it was on this date of March 25th, 2015. It's also, March 25th happens to be, Tolkien Reading Day, commemorating the fictional anniversary of the fall of Sauron. At 12 noon, eight. Apparently.
Yeah. So 12 noon.
By the way, I've got a book for that.
You got a book?
Yes, I'm going to read Tolkien's Rover Random.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I have not read it before, and I have it here, so I'm going to read it.
There you go. It's one of the March 22. Major geek holidays dedicated to partaking of the Middle Earth imaginings of one J.R.R. Tolkien. Is there another one? Yeah. And no, watching the movie and TV adaptations doesn't count. Crack a book, you orc.
Hey, there is multiple Tolkien's.
There's
multiple Tolkien's. His son, Christopher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of the, the Silmarillion. Filling in, editing. Yeah, he's done some little bit of writing.
Is this the author that came up with Tolkien Ring Network?
No.
I don't think so.
Darn it. All right, where's our news and happy thing?
Good news, crybabies.
All right. No, we have good news. This is a rather humorous story about a man who is planting... prank of the day. He was planting self-help books in a bookstore.
Hey, what? Like Podcasting for Dummies?
Yeah, that's a self-help book. Ben, would you be so kind as to get this show on course?
Well, is your child a Satanist centaur who can't dress himself? Because if so, you're in luck. A clever prankster has sabotaged a local bookstore in LA's West Hollywood by placing a few new titles on the shelves. Among them, A Guide to Getting Dressed, How to Deal with Your Half-Horse Son, and Some Tips on Performing a Human Sacrifice. This is just the latest stunt by Tumblr Redditor Obvious Plant, who has also switched out the labels on wine racks and recategorized some bookshelves to things like Animals I Want to Wrestle, and Dudes Who Lost Their Shirts and Messed with a Chiropractor Using Images of a Raptor. This is silly, seriously demented stuff.
I want to hang out with this guy.
This guy's a lot of fun. I hate to be with him around April Fool's, though.
Oh, yeah.
He put real titles in the library then.
So you're walking along the bookstore and you see, So Your Son is a Centaur, Coping with Your Child's Confusing Life Choices.
By Dr. Pinder Chips.
Another one that's got this guy who's really kind of got clothes all over his place.
Yeah,
Learn
confused.
To Dress Yourself, part of the You Are an Adult series by Agnes Brangles.
I love the names.
And the series, You Are an Adult series. Things like How to Pay Your Bills.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Stop letting your mommy do it for you.
Quit posting drunk pictures on Facebook. Grow up.
Hey, I followed the link to the wine labels that he had swapped out.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily labels, but it has like some wine stores, they'll have the recommendations, you should pair it with and stuff. Well, this first one says, recommended. And it says, Jeff W. says, guaranteed to get you suburban mom drunk, in quotes. here's another one. Jeff W. says, probably only good thing to ever come out of New Jersey.
The wine?
Oh.
Yeah, the wine.
Oh.
Hey, Jeff W. says, 5 stars. Gave this to my pet goat, and he loved it. There's some good ones in here. So.
We have another story about space beer.
Space beer.
Yes, if you ever wanted to drink beer that might have been in space. Actually, it wasn't the beer itself. It was the yeast.
The ingredients.
Keith, tell us.
On April 13th, at a few select places around the country, you'll be able to take a swig of space. Ninkasi Brewing Company in Oregon is releasing Ground Control
to Major Tom.
It tastes like garbage.
That's tastes ground like garbage.
Tastes like garbage.
It's it's an imperial stout brewed with yeast that traveled very briefly, to space last year.
Some sixth grader put it on his science project rocket. Yeah. Came back down and went, good enough.
Yep, yeah, there you go.
When can we buy this?
He sent yeast up in the mirror and then they end up with a $1 million project.
Yeah, what does it say here?
The first batch of yeast the company sent into space last July ended up lost in the desert after it returned to Earth.
Or they just drop it out the window of the space station?
This is our sand porter.
Here, we're right over where he's at. Let's drop him.
But in October, six vials successfully traveled into space and back. Ground control joins a variety of alcohols that have had adventures in low Earth orbit. Back in 2008, Sapporo brewed a very small batch of beer brewed from barley that spent time on the ISS. And last year, a sample of scotch arrived on Earth after aging on the space station for 2 years.
Wow. Yeah, what was it aging in?
Yeah, that's
plastic.
The key.
Yeah. I was thinking plastic. Yeah.
They're not setting up a barrel.
It was a plastic barrel that looks like an oak barrel.
Like the, what is it, the Mr. Beer?
Yeah, that's it.
Ooh.
Yum.
That'll work every time. So that takes care of the news. We have a plethora of birthdays. Again, I am scalping sources left and right to find these. Some of them are on our wiki. If you want to get on our wiki and get your birthday announced at the appropriate time of year. Yes?
Is March like that thin on the birthday calendar?
No, I'm just finding new sources.
Okay.
I'm going to Facebook and getting anybody I know is part of our podcast network. And then somehow they're showing up on my Google calendar as different things too. So I've got a couple from there too. So
are you scouring like the newspaper for birth announcements?
Yeah. The obituaries are coming up next on Technorama.
So you can scratch off the birthday calendar.
Missing three listeners this week.
Why am I laughing at that? I don't...
You're sick. You're sick. All right, March 25th, which is the day the show comes out. Nicholas St. Gabriel, who's been a longtime supporter and patron of the show. Thank you very much. I believe he's still in Alaska. March 26th has several, and we're not mentioning Leonard Nimoy this year. It would be my birthday on the 26th. Yay. And my nephew, yay, Travis, who is a nerd in training, he is going into cybersecurity. So we had a wonderful discussion with him back in February. Brina Baird in Hampton, Virginia is also the 26th. Good day for birthdays that day.
Yeah.
A surprise one that I found off of Facebook is Mr. Richard Balding, who happens to be my very first computer teacher, where those punch cards came from. And the 28th is also... It's his fault. He led me down the dark path.
Yeah.
Steve Morosky, whom we've interviewed. He's the one who had the police station in the Milwaukee area that we went to that one time.
I do remember that,
And he was on the show a couple of times. Ranger Mark Blackburn, whom was at the 2009 National Park Service training thing in Oakland, California, is
which
also
you still hang your hat on in 2009.
I know he listens to Freestyle. I think he listens to Technorama. Let us know, because I have involuntarily put you on this list.
Wait a minute. How could he be listening to Freestyle?
What?
When was the last one you put out?
About 3 weeks ago. Aren't you listening? Busted. And March 30th is Tony Mast. As I mentioned, if you want to get on the birthday calendar, go to chuckchat.com/wiki and save me the pain and suffering of going to multiple sources. But I don't mind. It's fun. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back with the rest of the stories, hacks and strange stories. We got some fun stuff, Star Warsy things and more, and more money than you ever wanted to spend on Legos. But, you know, some people do that. All that and more coming up right after this. Hi, Julie. Welcome to our new house in Phoenix.
Hi, Dad. Nice looking place.
It's good to see you. Let me show you around.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
Well, you know we bought this house from Michael R. Menengay, formerly of Slice of Sci-Fi, and this used to be the Draco Vista studio, right?
Yeah, you mentioned that.
He was really great. Look at all this cool stuff he included with the house. We have that china hutch over there, a liquor cabinet, a dining room table, this artwork on the wall. And, of course, in here, we have the studio.
Wow, that's a nice setup. Look at all the mics and how big that mixer is. Dad?
Yeah?
What's that under the mixer?
Oh, hi. It's just me, Michael Armenigay. I'm still here, dicking around.
Didn't you sell the house to my dad?
Yep, sure did. Here, hold this mic cable for me.
Don't people normally move out after they sell a house?
I didn't want to do that because the studio and I have things, there's cables and stuff, right?
Yep. Well, that was a little weird.
Nah, he's cool. And he's been very helpful. Now check out the pool in the backyard.
Hey.
Who's that relaxing by the pool?
Hi, I'm Jack Rangan.
Another slice of sci-fi person?
Yeah, pretty much. They used to be known as slicers.
Nice to meet you, Jack.
Hey.
Are there any others? He asks, expecting the answer yes.
Well, now that you mention it, remember that liquor cabinet?
Oh, did Michael leave you some booze?
No, of course not.
Even better, he left me, Brian Brown. How's it going, Julie?
Dude, get back in there. It's not game night yet.
No. All right, fine. Later.
I can hardly wait to see what or who is next.
Oh, well, then walk this way.
Oh, boy. The garage?
Hi.
And you are?
Oh, I'm Kim Adamick. You might not have recognized me with this Darth Vader welding hood.
Oh, of course not. Nice to meet you.
Hi, you too.
Here, Julie, let me take your jacket.
Thanks. There's a couple of people in the closet.
Julie, meet Ben Rangatin.
Hi, Julie. I've heard so much about you.
And Keith Lane.
So nice to meet you.
You know, you guys don't have to stay in there.
Oh, we know. We come out all the time and play with the cats.
And Keith is an awesome cook. Isn't this the greatest house ever?
Dad?
Yeah?
I hope you didn't pay too much for this house.
Don't tell your mom. Craig hasn't heard that yet. Golf clap.
Should also add that we come out of the closet for the show.
Yes. and among other things.
Craig, are you still there?
Uh-oh.
Sorry, I'm on mute.
Disenchanted. I thought you were just disenchanted.
What is this, WebEx?
I'm out of here. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
sorry,
cool.
I'm talking to mute.
Yeah. I've been talking this whole hour. What?
Finally got to put that together this weekend. That was a lot of fun because most of those people are around for Sam's party.
That was pretty good. I liked that.
That was fun. And Julie did a wonderful job. Considering it was done with like four takes. There was me and Julie recording. Then there was Mike and Jack. And then Tim and Brian were here one night. And then we finally got Keith and Ben to put their parts together. And it all stitched together.
Very nicely.
And I just had to do Foley stuff around the house.
And you know what? I can totally picture Mike coming out of the under the
sitting
desk.
Sitting under the desk. Yeah. Well,
hey, how's it going?
The sad thing is that it was actually quite true.
Lot of that stuff is true. Just a little nod of the tip of the hat to the Slice of Sci-Fi crew. That's me.
You know, it's like Green Acres. You know, they just everybody's at your house all the time. They're like always working on it and hanging out there.
Speaking of Green Acres,
I thought it was funny. Never mind.
This is the Green Acres of podcasts, I guess.
Yeah.
There was a catfish recently discovered, and they needed a name, so they named it after one of the Star Wars crew.
So does that mean this story is Greedo Acres?
Yeah.
Because he's green.
You made a funny.
No, not really.
I don't think that's a very good one. Jonathan Armbruster, biological sciences professor and curator of fishes for the Auburn University Museum of Natural History, named the previously unknown species of catfish Pecoltia greedoi. After, well, you know who, because this fish has some big black bulbous eyes, and he kind of looked like Greedo. You know, when you put those two pictures side by side, Greedo really starts to look more and more like a guy in a rubber mask.
Yeah.
that costume is not holding up well, is it?
No. Well, a lot of the characters from the cantina scene don't really hold up well. That's why Lucas decided to go very CGI when he did his special edition.
You know, when you go back and look at that cantina scene, it's like, it just looks like a costume party.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one big convention cosplay.
It's costume night at the cantina. Yeah. They wouldn't let my robots in.
Yeah.
No electrical.
And by the way, in other news, I want curator of fishes as my title somewhere.
Curator of fishes? Put that on the bucket list, will you?
Yeah, I'll put that. I'm going to make cards up for Dragon Con. Curator of fishes.
Media Corner. I mean, no, remember when? I'm reading the wrong things.
Make up your mind.
I can't keep this straight. I'm going to skip the feedback again. All right. If you are a gamer, you may enjoy this because there is now a monthly subscription service for retro video games.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So My Retro Games Box is a subscription service that sends you 3 games a month, depending on what retro consoles you need or what you have and what kind of games you like to play. Consoles currently supported are the NES, Super NES, N64, Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, Sega Master System, Sega Master Drive, and of course the Sega Genesis. The games they send, which you get to keep, this is not a rental service, you get to keep these, are based on your gaming preferences, but you don't actually get to choose the games.
Oh dear. Oh.
So it's a mystery.
E.T. again?
Subscriptions start around £65 or $96 for 3 months.
Yikes.
And get a little cheaper the more months you subscribe. Alternatively, get on eBay and buy the games you know you want. Although, getting mystery packages is fun as you shake the box and go, hey, oh, this must be for the neighbor. So it's an interesting idea. I just wonder where they're sourcing this from.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Doesn't, you know, my son doesn't say.
I've seen there's all kinds of retro game console places around.
I wonder if somebody hit the jackpot on like Storage Wars or something. They opened up this mini store and went, look at all these old games. How are we going to make any money off of this?
Yeah, we'll open up a store.
We'll fleece these people.
Yeah, fleece them.
And
you know, so, by the way, you know, Harrison just started getting the Loot Crate. Have you heard about that?
No. Yeah. What is that?
So you sign up for, I think you can do like 3 or 6 months or something like that, or maybe even further. But they'll send you a themed box each week, or each month, excuse me. And each month you'll get like an assortment of things. Like this one was spy related. So you got this.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like a care package, if you will.
Yes, exactly. So it had like, it had a comic book in there of Orphan Black, which I thought was interesting.
Hmm.
It had a black watch with, it looks like it's all rubber and you touch the front of it, mm-hmm. and the red digital LED lights come through.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, some stuff like that. It was really cool.
Haven't seen one of those in ages.
One of our.
Oh, and you know, Oswald, Patton Oswalt, his character on S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, he was adamant about the security badges.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a security badge just like the one he was handing everybody.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, a friend of ours in there too. Up in Washington.
I was like, I wonder if Harrison would know if I took it to Dragon Con. So, it was pretty cool. It kind of reminds me of this. You don't really know what you're going to get. And you just kind of, it's like a surprise. It's like Christmas all year round.
Yeah.
Secret Santa.
Secret Santa, yes.
That too.
It's pretty cool. A friend of ours in Washington was doing the Loot Crate. And 1 month they had the Funko Pop characters.
Uh-huh.
And I think they got Star-Lord.
Really?
Yeah. And so there's all kinds of different little characters that they do. And nice. All kinds of stuff in the Loot Crate. So I thought, why not?
They must be making money, or they wouldn't.
And I thought, yeah, do I really want to pay that for
a
bunch of stuff that I'm not going to want, and maybe have one thing that I want out of the 5 months or
that's
6 months?
That's what they're counting on.
Exactly.
Well, that we did this for his birthday. He wanted that for his birthday. So that's, kind of, it works out because he gets like a birthday present for 6 or however many months we signed up for.
Yeah, the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
That's right.
The Jelly of the Month Club.
Yeah. Jelly.
Yeah, well, that's about what it is.
Christmas vacation. That's your bonus this year. Jelly of the month.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the media corner.
I just had an epiphany. We have graphics that we can use for these segues. We should stick on that machine.
An epiphanic moment.
I've had them. Yes.
You should have
what
that
did you just
at.
Say? What?
Epiphanic moment.
Epiphanic moment. Was it inspired by the G's eye?
All the baby G's eye.
Jeez.
Funniest term. So Megan was here last night. I just broke Keith. We're playing Cards Against Humanity. I don't even remember what card came up, but Megan throws out this term and everybody just kind of stunned. Like, you know, that is the plural of Jesus, is G's eye.
G's eye.
It was so politically and inappropriate.
It was just wrong.
It was just inappropriate.
That whole card game is wrong, so it just fit right in. So I couldn't help but think of that term at least once this morning at church.
Jeez, now that's the worst place to think about it.
I'm working the sound booth with this big grin on my face and no one's got a clue. It's like, I'm thanking Jesus this morning.
Yeah. I'm doing this for all the Jesus.
You know, Chuck, your church is very productive. I mean, wherever you go, you're like, you come back with these great ideas. I'm like, did you even pay attention?
Nope.
Your mind is like everywhere.
It's called inspiration. Don't you go to church to get motivated and stuff? I'm just getting motivated on the different things.
Yeah, I don't know if they want that particular source of motivation, though.
Yeah.
Chuck, service is over. You can leave now. Oh.
Craig, would you read about the Jurassic Park Legos? Because who doesn't love Legos and Jurassic Park?
Yes. You have to be a monster to hate a movie like Jurassic Park. But it turns out that there are fans... Ah! Oh, that was so lifelike. But it turns out there are fans so devoted to the film that they'll spend weeks and weeks painstakingly creating their own stop-motion version of the blockbuster using $100,000 worth of Lego. Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, that just stopped me in my tracks there. And some digital wizardry in post-production. So the father and daughter team of Paul and Haley Hollingsworth are the pair responsible for this homage to that creep that recreates the most memorable moments in Jurassic Park using thousands and thousands of plastic bricks. They did have to enlist the help of a few friends for building sets and voice work, as well as motion control cameras that made it easier to shoot clean plates and remove rigging and character support structures afterwards. So if you're really interested to see how they made the whole thing, the Hollingsworths have posted a delightful behind the scenes look at their animated short that is just as entertaining as the film. Yay. So I want to check that. I'm going to go back and check that out, but I'll see the GIF here. It looks pretty good.
I haven't seen the behind the scenes video, but I did watch the whole video. It's about 4 minutes long, which I think is a bit pricey per minute at $100,000. But hey, you know, yeah, exactly. Poor little Haley Hollingsworth doesn't have a college fund anymore.
Yeah.
$100,000.
I know. They better have monetized this baby.
You could have hired some.
Yeah. Or someone's going to be really upset.
3 cents for 100,000 views that you're going to get from Google.
Got $25.
Hey.
I do love that little scene where the classic scene where the poster's coming down when dinosaurs roam the earth.
Mm-hmm. It's all the classic scenes and there's... They've varied from the script. It is not a true canon type of film.
Not a faithful adaptation.
Right, but it does have humorous moments.
It better damn well be.
No, it has humorous moments. They threw in their own flair to this thing because when they're trying to access the computer system and the guy says, you didn't say the magic word. You didn't say the magic word. One of the scientists goes, Newman. You got to watch for the little things like that. It's been a long time since I watched the movie, but I don't think that's what they said.
I don't think that's it.
By the way, Jeremy Keel is actually talking to himself pretty well in the chat room, and he says, stop motion. He says, stop motion. That's hardcore.
It is with it Legos. Is.
What was that I just saw that somebody recreated something else in Lego like this? It was a famous movie, and I'm trying to remember. I can't remember what it is.
Well, it wasn't me in my third grade Sunday school a couple of years ago. That was Daniel and the Lion's Den, and it was not stop motion. It was the kids had their hands on the toys, but it was still fun.
It turned out pretty good. I like that.
All right, next story. We have a museum that is giving away a DeLorean.
Does it have snow tires?
It's in Chicago.
When are they going to give it away?
You have to read the conditions. So
wait a minute. Did you say snow tires or did you just say, does it still have tires?
Does it come with snow tires?
Yeah.
Read on.
Think about it.
Ben, would you?
Okay. So we're still waiting on many of the futuristic technologies from Back to the Future Part 2. We don't have Marty's hoverboard yet. We're getting really close. Or Doc's electronic technology that puts you to sleep.
We'll have the Daleks.
True. I got nothing. Or the government's total weather control. But you might have a chance to win Doc Brown's DeLorean, provided the Cubs win the World Series.
There's the catch!
Yeah. In the 1989 film, the Cubs win the World Series in their alternate version of year 2015. To celebrate, the Volo Auto Museum in Illinois is putting up their 1981 replica Back to the Future style DeLorean for some lucky person to win.
That would be cool.
It would be kind of far out. The museum estimates that the car is worth about $85,000. The car is fully functional. There it is again.
Wow.
It's a running and driving car, Volo Museum Director Brian Grams told the ABC News. Though we don't guarantee time travel with the car, its flux capacitor and other board lights do light up just like the movie's
Very
car.
Cool.
Visitors.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
Is this screen used? Or is it just a
No, I think it's just a replica.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Well,
he wants the so
forget it now. I don't care.
I want Marty's butt groove car. I want to sit in the seat.
Craig, you know that some of the replicas are actually a higher quality than what they use in Hollywood?
That's true.
You know, if you went to the Universal Studios behind the scenes tour where they show you the things stuff. From Star Wars, yeah. You're like, that's just a piece of cardboard. It worked on screen, but
it
that's
all. Not in real life.
Right, and when people build better stuff.
Yeah. We first went to the Star Trek Experience up at when it was at the Vegas Hilton.
Yeah.
The little chips that they used, the
isolinear
things,
chips?
They were little blocks of plywood.
Oh, they're not even plastic?
No,
plywood. I thought it was see-through like...
Uh-uh. No. Now, this was original series. The little... blocks that were that about
okay.
Like that.
Yeah, the cartridges that Spock was putting in the memory tapes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, their version of a floppy disk.
They were little blocks of wood. They weren't plywood, but they were just blocks of wood.
Hey, well, remember, Chuck? Oh my God. Remember, we saw the behind the scenes tour.
Yes.
And down below the shuttle, where they had the Borg alcoves.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And they were just and they were kind of like stacked up against the wall. I mean, like. You know, 1, 2, 3, like stacked on top of each other. And it was like, that kind of breaks the.
Last time we did it, we actually saw Borg taking a cigarette break.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In the Borgo lounger. Yeah. They had a lot of great behind the scenes stuff.
Have y'all seen our video from that?
No.
Is that on our Technorama channel?
I believe
put it on your channel this time?
No, I believe it's on our. I have to go look, but yeah, or at least y'all should listen to the tour.
Have to get.
We had a good time with that.
We did the behind the scenes tour.
We were allowed to record it, but under the condition that we didn't air it until the end of the month, because we were there just a few days before they closed.
You were there just after we were, because we were there just like a couple of months before they were getting rid of it.
It was it was right at the Podcast Expo in 2008.
Yeah,
and they closed it like late September of 2008, and they said. You can record, but don't put any of this out there until
after.
We were there in July of 2008.
Yeah,
there wasn't much left in the store except too small of shirts and a couple of crappy keychains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was sad.
Oh, my. Yeah, don't get too excited.
It wasn't sad in general. I loved it.
Getting back to Back to the Future, don't get too excited about the Cubbies taking the series just yet. They finished last in their division last season. Surprisingly, there are still plenty of people who are holding out hope.
Yep, have to be over in
the Twilight Zone.
All right, in the Geek Library, we have one more thing that's going to be real fun. I know Craig will enjoy this. I think you found it and I found it at the same time. There's a 1982 JCPenney Christmas catalog.
Yay!
Because everything from 1982 was cool.
Some of these things are just really far out, and I wouldn't mind owning them today.
Yeah, especially at the prices from 1982.
Yeah, no kidding.
My mind was blown. Look, there's a Master Merlin.
Oh, Craig, you're going to have to upgrade. Your Merlin is no good anymore.
It's like, you know, every once in a while I'll find a catalog like this, and I'll go, there was an other version of it.
Yeah, you know, I'm not familiar with the Master Merlin. That's far out.
It has two more buttons.
Yeah.
Ooh. For $5 more.
Yeah. Exactly.
Damn straight. I'm going to get one.
They have classics like Monopoly. They have the, there was a Dungeons and Dragons digital game for $20. I thought that was interesting. The original Simon, the full space one that looks like the Electric Light Orchestra ship.
Yes.
$32. And the handheld one was only $20. I mean, the prices on these are pretty darn reasonable.
Where is it?
Plus the desktop arcade games like Frogger and Pac-Man, those were $60. So there was a little more on the pricey side. I was surprised that the board game Stratego was $42.99.
I mean, because that was not exactly the most popular of board games.
Yep.
Heavily marketed, but not all that popular unless there's a real catch to that particular version.
What is this thing on the bottom? There's like a charge, a battery charger, but it looks like it says battery eliminator or something.
it discharges your batteries faster. That's it.
They have the Speak and Spell. Speak and Spell was originally $62 back then. The Little Professor, Pocket Professor thing, remember that? That was only $15. So some of these prices, I honestly, if you had asked me, I couldn't have told you how much these are because some are higher than I would have thought and some are much, much lower than I would have thought.
Well, I look back at the Merlin, it was $31. I'm like, wow, you know, I didn't think my parents spent that much, but well, but back then, you know, in 1982 dollars.
Yeah, you gotta double or triple the money at least.
Yeah, since I didn't have this one on my iPad.
Yes.
And I couldn't find it. And when we were talking about the Simon. Well,
oh, forget it. Soundbite
it's
fail.
Not working on my phone. Oh, because the sound's turned off.
Too bad he gets paid for every soundbite.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
Yay.
Sorry. I thought it was on my iPad. No, it wasn't.
Don't forget there's also games that allow you to shoot guns in the house, so yeah. That's always fun. Like the one that had the light on the wall.
Hey, I don't need a game to do that.
He lives in the South.
Yeah, that's right.
Some of these, like I said, I would not mind owning again. I loved Electronic Battleship. That was just a lot of fun. It was a pain to set up every new game, but it was just a ton of fun to play.
This gets into a good discussion about nostalgia. It would be fun to have them or play them. And if you played them, how long before they actually got boring? Because I had, until recently, one of the original Pong games. And I thought, this will be fun. We'll break it out every once in a while. I could play it for about 3 minutes, and then it got too dull. And it had the Pong and the squash and the hockey and the...
I remember that. Yeah
but
that
I mean, my God, you'd spend hours.
Oh, hours. Yeah, hours when we were kids when it first got
but it. But
it
was the only thing there was. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was the high tech.
I could never play that damn game.
There was a lot of these... there was a lot of these things in catalogs that I wanted, and then maybe I never get. So, but I saw them like at another kid's house or something, and I play with it for a little bit, and you go, that was pretty cool. And then I'm satiated. I didn't need it anymore.
Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't buy more of these things myself because I had money back then. I was in my late teens and I had a job or two. So I had the income, but I did not direct it towards handheld games and, board games and things.
We didn't do a lot of that either. We did have, like I said, the Electronic Battleship. We pestered our parents for it and it got a lot of play.
Yeah.
We really played that game a lot. We got our money's worth out of that. And as much as I would like to have it now, that's a really good question. Would I actually still want to play today?
For any length of time.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same thing with, you know, this retro video subscription service. You know, even if they gave you your old favorite game right now, would you play it? I mean, I've got floppy disks in this closet that work on this Apple II back here, but I have no motivation to go fire up even the old Wolfenstein that I played, and I know all the trips and traps about
now,
it.
I
know you anymore, Chuck.
I would say that as far as nostalgia goes, and this is something that I would play, the old text adventure games for PCs.
Zork 2,
things like 3. That. You know, and I actually knew some of the programmers who wrote those things. I would play those again because those were tons of fun.
Or if you could find a copy of Myst.
That's not a text adventure.
Well, that was an adventure. It was an adventure in frustration most of the time.
Yeah. An adventure to hell.
What the hell is this? Yeah, I'll bet there are the Zork programs on the internet.
That's what I've heard.
They've got to be out there. I haven't checked recently, but I know they've got to be out there. All right.
Hey,
by
the way, just for kicks, I went and looked on eBay. I see a few of the Master Merlin devices. One was like $65. I saw some other ones that were cheaper.
Double the price. What's wrong with them?
Well, yeah, I know, right? Well, I don't need one that's in mint. I want to be able to, I want to mess with it. I don't care that it's.
You want to hack it?
Yeah, I want to use it. I want to try it out. But here you go.
He wants here's to one. Stick in a Raspberry Pi in it.
Yeah, right. So then I scroll down a little bit and I see one that says prototype Master Merlin game wood mock-up Parker Brothers 1982. And I look at it. Sure enough, it's kind of made out of wood. This person wants $2,800 for it.
What? It better be signed by somebody important.
One of the Parker brothers, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it better work.
Bob or Jim.
Back then it would have been Parker Stevenson.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
We have, to keep the conversation going for our feedback, our listener question this week is, what is your most hated technology sound? Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be an electronic device. We talked about many tonight, but you may have that, and everybody's got their favorite technology sounds. Of course, Keith has a whole palette full of them over there.
Yes.
Oh, technology sound. I was thinking technology.
No, is it your alarm clock each morning? Let me get things going here. Mine would have to be the old alarm on our stove when I was a kid. That just used to grate on my nerves when the cookies were done. Even if it was chocolate chip cookies, I couldn't stand the sound of that alarm. It was like, it sounded like it had to wind up to get going. It was throwing some sort of, it wasn't a relay being thrown. It was just sort of this mechanical, I'm getting close. And then it would start to buzz. Hated that thing. So,
which Hazel's car?
I've got one. I'll see the conversation also. What I hated was when I was working in an office and somebody would hit a speakerphone and you would hear just the dial tone and they would never dial. It just kind of, I hated that. It's a dial tone I can't control, you know, and just wouldn't shut up. So there you go. That's one.
Do you guys have any off the top of your heads?
Oh yeah. Keith knows what it is. It's a pew, 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 pew.
Literally?
Pew,
literally?
Pew.
Wait a minute. The pew. Word pew or the sound pew?
Pew.
Are you listening, pew. Craig?
Pew.
Gotcha.
Well to this played, day, my friend. That sound.
Pew. Asteroids? Pew.
It just keeps doing that.
Hey, I can feel
that's the sound of my buttons being pushed.
Hey. Shut up! Hey,
I can feel the tension, and I'm four states over.
You're more than that. You're three like time six. Zones away.
It's just popped in my head. I don't know, four, five, six. Who cares?
We can't count fast on this show.
My ESPN is kicking in.
Keith, do you have one? Tension.
I can't think of one except for the alarm clock. It's just, you know, it's a horrible noise.
And nobody likes a sounding alarm clock early in the morning.
I hate it so much, I wake up before it and shut it off. I don't use an alarm clock primarily for that reason. I hate the sound so much.
That'll teach you, Chuck.
And yet there are people who love it so much, they use the snooze button. I must hear it again in 7 minutes.
Nine.
Okay, good. Nine. Jimmy Keel.
I don't even know how long a snooze button is. Everybody else knows.
Hey, Jimmy Keel says in the chat room, I'll give my answer now. The alarm motherboards give off when the CPU is overheating. It's a terrifying sound.
Oh, dear. That's
what he says.
I never even heard that.
Neither have I.
They have alarms?
Wow.
I don't know. Is it a smoke detector? Beep, beep, beep.
I tell you, there is another sound I can also. The heck was that?
I guess a motherboard mounting.
You said that last week.
There you go. The other sound I hate is when the hard drive starts to whine.
Oh, God. Oh. Yeah. I had an external hard drive years ago to my that was part of my Mac LC. And every once in a while, it would just grind, and it was like my teeth were being ripped out.
There's an interesting thing. If you listen to it, and if you remember how those hard drives kind of had that whine, that rhythmic whine on Poikatsi by
The music is Philip Glass.
There's one that has this this whine. It sounds like an old hard drive whining in the background.
Really?
It's fascinating.
You know, that's actually an advantage of the mechanical hard drives that I hadn't thought about. You could tell when they were about to die, and you could at least try to get a backup. And before it became click, click.
Yeah, click, exactly. Click, yeah.
Solid state. Mm-mm. Nope. If it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah. I had to recover a whole library of photos that I had scanned that were film that I had scanned. I didn't want to scan them again off of a hard drive here recently. It's like, thank God I got it moved.
All right. We are running to the end on this one. So our listener question this week, as I mentioned, is what is your most hated technology sound? You can give us a call.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Or, of course,
send your comments to Technorama at chuckchat.com.
Rama.
And I want to give a quick shout out to our supporters. I mentioned Nicholas St. Gabriel and all the others who are generously contributing to the PayPal donation. Thank you very much for your contributions. You keep this show going. We have a special anniversary coming up. May 1st is our 10-year anniversary of Technorama. Comes up quick. Yeah, really ridiculous how fast that goes and what's happened in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it seems like we just started yesterday.
As a special bonus, Craig will be in the Phoenix Binary Studio sitting here with us on April 26th because the show will go out the 29th, which is close enough for me to May 1st.
We'll be sitting in the Caribbean.
Oh, man.
Bahamas.
Are you serious? You're not going to be there?
We already booked the cruise. We didn't know you were going to be here at that time.
But they will be around when you're here on the front end.
Yes,
of that
we are.
Trip.
Yeah,
on
the front end. When you first show up to Phoenix, we're going to come to see you.
So we have some other specials planned. Gotcha. Okay. So you'll get to see Ben and Keith and Tim and all these other people.
We just
won't
be here for the actual Technorama show.
We're going to have to try and get some real work done because this will be during work days most of the day. If you're in the Phoenix area and you'd like to stop by, let us know and we'll see what we can arrange. There are a limited number of seats in the studio, but we have had a live audience in here before and probably will again in the future. So we'll make plans and probably set up a Facebook event or something for that.
Event. Craig's World Tour stopping in Phoenix, Arizona.
One date only.
Yeah.
Where's that closing music? There it is. So as we mentioned, you can call us on the listener line, 206-222-CHAT. 2428 is what that translates into in English. And want to remind you that we are doing this video weekly on YouTube at 9:30 Eastern Time. We would like you to subscribe to the YouTube channel so that you know when we've got a new show coming out. And then you can watch it because there are a lot of visuals sneaking into this show. Like we had the catalog pages from JCPenney's and the Greedo Fish and many other things if you want to see that.
And the lens flares.
And the lens flares.
There we go.
Thank you, JJ Rangitan.
My pleasure. Cut the check.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thank you, gentlemen, for stopping by.
Our pleasure. Fun as always.
Thank you to my lovely wife, Donna, who's been running the video as she waves off camera. And until next time, give me a binary high five.
101.
That'll do, pig.